Welcome back to Dare to Feel. I'm your host, Alexandra Roxo, creative artist, best-selling author of Fuck Like a Goddess, and my new book, Dare to Feel, transformational and spiritual mentor and coach. This series is based on my latest book, Dare to Feel. In each episode, we'll deepen into topics around intimacy, relationships, spirituality, healing, and beyond.
Hello, my beloveds. I'm just taking a nice sip of tea and joining you for a solo podcast today where we can talk about love, talk about feminism, talk about why we push away love, talk about what kind of love that we're yearning for, talk about how to get deeper love in the relationship that you're in, and essentially really investigate where we are at collectively as women when it comes to love. Love in the modern age, love in the digital age, love in the post-feminist age, love after we saw our moms be power moms, who were working moms, who were like jazzercise moms, who were like TV dinner moms. Anybody, Velveeta shells and cheese kid? Who are, you know, doing it all and modeled that for us. The do-it-all moms, the moms that were like, you can have your dreams come true, my love, because they were raised by women in like the 40s, 50s, right? 60s, depending your age. They were raised by women who were, it was this first era of like grocery stores and television and all these modern conveniences that make your life as a housewife and a wife easier, right? As a mom, easier. And I imagine that those women, many of our grandmothers, didn't get to follow their careers. They were homemakers. They didn't get to, have a voice, be artists, be dancers. They didn't get to be sexually expressed. They didn't get to make choices around their sexuality. So in come our moms, and I'm speaking again to multiple generations of you, and our moms, many of us generalizing here, are like, baby, love, my delicious, incredible, talented child, you can do whatever you want. Go, what school do you want to go to? What college do you want to go to? How can we make your dreams come true, right? Maybe your mom wasn't like that at all. Sorry. This message is still for you. Keep listening. But on a whole, even if you're watching the moms on TV in the 80s or 90s, you see this like, I want to empower my daughter. My daughter needs to be empowered because I had to work hard to get empowered, right? I had to get out of that. I'm talking women's lib in the 70s and all of that. I had to get out of all these old tropes around women being in this homemaker role that was imprisoning them, etc. And so then we have our moms that are like, go do it all. You can have it all, etc. And then we put our careers first because, well, like that's what we get to do. And then it's like, well, now I have the career or I'm working on the career and that takes a lot of energy. But what about the partner? What about the lover? What about the man, if that's your choice? Because I've put so much time and energy into me, which is awesome, which is the most juicy, delicious privilege of all time, okay? Just take a moment, give your mom a round of applause. Thank you. Thank you for all the opportunities that you gave me. Thank you for reminding me that I'm strong, that I'm sovereign. Thank you for teaching me how to say no to, you know, boys when they were coming on to me or when I didn't want to do something with them. Thank you for teaching me that I could be smart and also beautiful. Thank you for teaching me that I could travel solo around the world. Thank you, right? Thank you. Maybe it wasn't your mom. Maybe it was your grandma. Maybe it was, you know, a mom on television. It doesn't matter. Maybe it was your auntie. But thank you. Thank you. And now let's acknowledge that with that came a sacrifice. With taking all this time to put ourselves first, to strengthen our power, to strengthen the career, to do the self-work, that often love and our cultivation as lovers, as sensual women, as pleasure-filled women, as women who can cook incredible dishes and create magic in the home may have gotten thrown out the window. Because guess what? There's only so much time in the day. So what many of us were modeled was like incredible badassery, which again, round of applause. But the model of what it looks like to be a devotional partner or wife or lover, right? A sensual woman who's not rushing, right? We have this image of like working girl, Melanie Griffith. Anybody remember this movie? Like getting on the Staten Island ferry with her tennis shoes and her, you know, her skirt and her pantyhose. God, pantyhose. I love it. And changing into her pumps, pantyhose and pumps. So like 80s, 90s. And so, but that's so different, right? That's so different than what it means to be a sensual woman, a lover, a wife, a partner in deep devotion. If you didn't see that modeled, which we definitely didn't see it modeled out of the shadow frequencies on TV. We didn't, okay? So if you didn't see it modeled at home, then we're going off what? This almost like Sex and the City emblematic feminine who can have it all. And we love her. I love her. I have been her. But how much did you see in that show of deep intimacy, heartfelt intimacy, sacred intimacy, sex that felt really potent and deep and heart connected? Even husbands that were like vital and strong in their masculine, right? Like you kind of have the husband character with Charlotte, right? And you have these kind of like, and you have it with Steve, with Miranda, you have this like bumbling bartender, right? And she's the one who wears the pants and she's the power, but she's not embodying much of anything super sensual or juicy or inviting. A lot of times she's embodying a lot of sharpness and like kind of bossiness, which I love her character, but that was like archetypally. And then you have, you know, Charlotte, who's embodying like, I want to be a wife. I want to be a wife. I want to be like this quintessential wife, but she's not embodying the sensuality piece of that or the sort of relaxation in her body. It seems like she's always trying, right, to like be the perfect wife. So there's like that shadow of like, I'm trying. I want to be it. I want to please you, right? Like good girl people pleaser. And then her husband, you know, you have her first husband, gosh, what was Trey, who was like, and forgive me, guys, if you didn't watch Sex and the City, then I love you. And just stay with me for another second here. So you have Trey, and he was like totally, almost felt like, oh, he was impotent. I almost said impotent. He had trouble getting it up. And part of that you see in his relationship to his mom, Bunny, who is like totally kind of, you know, limping him. Is that even a word? Making him limp as a man, depotentiating him as a man, right? Like Charlotte and Bunny and Trey go to dinner and his mother is ordering him food. And then her second husband has a little bit more masculine vitality, but he still feels a bit bumbly to me. So the men on the show, you know, you have those men, and I could go into completely deconstructing all the archetypes here, right? We've got Big, we've got Aiden, we've got bad guy, you know, we've got bad guy and good guy for Carrie, et cetera. But I'm just saying, this is what we were modeled. That we didn't get the model of what it is like to be a powerful, badass babe who's also sensual, who's also great in the kitchen, who's also great in the bedroom, who's also devotional and sees the hearth of the home as this gorgeous place of love and spirituality. So I see a lot of women who are stuck in different archetypal tones, who are stuck in, I'm really powerful. I'm always going to wear the pants. I'm going to slightly and subtly control the man I'm with by withholding commitment, by withholding, you know, letting him lead me at all. And so by doing that, I'm sort of, you know, again, like taking away his potency. So you see that, you see women who are like, no, I am soft and available and receptive in my feminine to my man, but now I want him to be like my creative and business partner. I want to talk about my work with him all the time, right? Like, it's totally okay to talk to your partner about your work, but I'm talking about like, you know, making that a through line that everyone who's around you needs to know how much money you're making and where you went to college and how awesome you are. I've totally done that. I totally went on dates and I'd be like, kind of just like showing off how sparkly and shiny I am, right? So there's that. There's another shadow that I see, which is getting so caught up in the pathologies of attachment theory and polyvagal theory and nervous system. Oh, so it's another blocking away love. Like I'm pushing away love because, you know, like he's not secure attached. Well, guess what? If you're single past the age of like 30, you're probably not going to find a secure person. You all are going to create security together because the secure people got in secure relationships in their 20s, right? Or their early 30s. So get over that. Stop trying to find that, especially if you don't identify as being super secure, which you probably aren't if you're single. And that's okay. I'm you. I love you. I love you. But don't use that pathology and that therapy speak to actually push away love. This is another way I see people push away love. Another thing that I see is people just not making a choice, not choosing, because there are so many choices. And this is another kind of shadow frequency of our time, is that there are so many choices that we choose nothing. And we use this kind of excuse of red flags or the standards or chemistry. Oh, that one just gets me. The excuse. There's no chemistry. And I've really thought about this. So yes, you want to be attracted to the person you're across from on some level. But chemistry is often built in your childhood. And chemistry is often built off your relationship to your parents and your deepest inner wounds. So unless you've done a ton of work around that, you're still getting a ping by someone else who's sitting across from you, somehow touching into your wounding. And that creates chemistry, creates some sort of a ping in your body. So if you're feeling a crazy ping, like you're on a crazy ride of chemicals, then you're probably really in some sort of a trauma provoking dynamic or bond or infatuation or whatever it is, or lovership. If you're feeling nothing and it feels kind of boring, but also kind of nice, then it may be worth staying with it. And this is what I see. I just see this as a shadow of like, that there's no choices. There aren't enough choices out there. There aren't the conscious men. That's all a lie. I don't believe it. And I also, you know, there's not enough chemistry. You're addicted to feeling all this dopamine, social media's fault. It's, you know, all of the romance kind of movie's fault. Secure relationship can sometimes feel boring. Because boring is a silly word. It can feel safe. It can feel without the spikes of chemicals and hormones in your body. And if you need a spike, just tell your secure partner to like flirt with someone at a coffee shop in front of you. You'll get a spike real quick, right? They'll be like, oh, thank God. They don't do that all the time. Because then I would definitely have a lot of chemicals in my body and I would have a lot of charge in my body, right? So, in the idea of like, there are so many choices that I will choose no one, right? That is just heartbreaking to me. If you want to experience the deep love, and you don't have to want that, but if you want that, you will have to choose. And one of my inspirations for this work and this phase of my life is Dr. Pat Allen, who wrote the book, Getting to I Do. It's a terrible title. Love you, Pat Allen. But it is a great book. And who turned me on to her work? I can't even remember who turned me on to her work. But it was a long, long time ago, long, long time ago that I found her work. So Dr. Pat Allen says something like, if the man is, I think, 60% good, like, on a scale from 0 to 100, if the potential choice that you're thinking of going on a second date with or hanging out with or whatever is 60% a yes, then try, keep going deeper. Because you're working against so much of your habitual no. You're working against it. And if they're, another thing she really makes a distinction around is like, if they're doing something that's illegal, immoral, unethical, you know, then like that's its own thing. So we're not talking about that. We're not talking about being with abusive people, people that are not good people. We're talking about, is this person in front of you 60% a yes, worth getting to know deeper? I see women that want the 100% yes on the first date, on the second date. And so they just say no. And to me, that is our programming gone wrong. That is the shadow of, I am woman, hear me roar. I am mega manifester. I can have 100% of what I want when I want it. And I'm just going to wait for that. And my love, maybe that'll work for you. But maybe you're going to spend years waiting when there are so many good people out there who can meet you. And the other side I'm going to say is this, that you're projecting your inner perfectionist on to each person you meet. So the standards that you likely are holding for yourself that maybe are super high at times, you are projecting onto this person. My inner critic, my inner perfectionist. Now, every potential partner I meet has the projection, the overlay of the standards I hold for myself onto them. And they did not consent to that, by the way. Let's all have a sip of tea. Quick little pause here. I want to introduce you to Groovy. They make non-alcoholic social beverages. They are award-winning for their craft beer and wine. We had their delicious dry Secco at the Dare to Feel book launch party at Contact Sports in New York City. It was delicious, perfect for a toast when you are feeling like going alcohol-free. You can buy Groovy at Whole Foods, Target, Total Wine, and more. All right, back into the podcast. And this is also happening within relationship, okay? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know I've done this. I hold myself to some high standards. Guess what? Yes, I've projected them onto my partner. Guess what that does? It is a huge intimacy killer. Huge. Huge. Especially with a man. Oh. Holding him to some impossible standards that I'm holding myself to. And then talking about it, oh, terrible idea. So we're either doing that in relationship, in our minds, or we're doing it on dates. And that is not helping anybody to feel more love and more intimacy. And I say all this with love. I know it sounds like I'm yelling. I'm passionate about this. Okay, you guys, I'm passionate about this because if you're a woman who's listening, and you either are longing for your partner to lead you or feel you more deeply or hold you more deeply. And you're like, God, I'm always the one who's strong and who's making the plans and who's got it together. And like, I have to be tracking everything. Then you're not putting down all of these personas and shadows that I'm talking about with you right now. And if you're single, and you're like, I wonder why there's just no good man. There's just no conscious man. Da, 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 da. Then I want you to have the love. I want it. It's possible for you. And I want to help liberate you from all the reasons that you're not saying yes to it. I just see it all the time. And I love so many of the women that I see. And I respect your choice to say no. If you're like, oh, I don't like any of these men, you have every right to say, I don't like any of them. You do. And a part of you is pushing away love. I'm sorry. That's just what I'm seeing. So why not just say, I actually want to be alone for a few years. I actually want to be single for a few years. The other thing I see is just waiting, thinking that somebody is just going to roll into your life. That to me is still speaks magical thinking. This did happen with me. Okay. So it is possible. It's happened to a lot of people that I know where somebody introduced you to somebody, you're at a party, da, da, da. But I also think that there's a level of participation that we have to engage with what we want. And so this idea of like, I see it's 2024, people are on apps. I'm so sorry, you guys. I know nobody likes to be on the apps, but it's 2024 and people are on apps. Get on the app. If you're single, maybe you're not going to meet your person on the app, but are your doors open? Are your heart doors open? Spiritually, physically, mentally. On the app, are you open? Is the door open on the app? Right. And I know that, like, for those of us who romanced pre-apps, we're like, no, I just can't. But you can. You really can. And maybe you won't meet the person on the app. Also, go out in the world, right? Like, go flirt with people. Don't be crazy flirt, you know, where your energy is leaking everywhere, but smile, be open, put your phone in your bag. Like, this idea also of waiting for somebody who's just going to come and make it all better. I mean, even in my relationship, like, I had to make a lot of choices where I almost said, nah. And I made a lot of choices that were like, no, lean in again. Like, have another hard conversation. Like, ask another clarifying question instead of just saying no. Like, how could I create more warmth? How could I create more intimacy? How could I create more of what I want in this relationship or in this dynamic of dating? Not just sitting across from a man, expecting him to create the dynamic that you want, to give you the feeling you want or the love you want. Maybe it's not a man. But how could you come in and artfully invite the dynamic and play and take full responsibility? The funny thing is that I see about the feminism piece, it's like, we're these strong, independent women and we are high functioning. We can kind of do it all plus more. Yet there's like a little girl inside of us who still wants to be rescued by the knight in shining armor. Or there's a little girl inside of us who still wants to be, you know, picked up by the knight in shining armor, prince, shining prince, whatever, white horse. I don't know which image resonates for you. I'm trying to think of which one is for me. But we want that, like, same fantasy romantic rescue. And so we may be super boss babe empowered, show up on a date, and then we're like, but now I want you to do all the work. No, you're going to have to do some work. You're going to have to show up in your heart, not in your boss babe. You're going to have to take off your work hat. You're going to have to, if you are yearning to be partner or devotional wife, you're going to have to show up as that. If you're showing up on a date as like boss babe, then you're only going to attract someone who wants a 24/7 boss babe, because that's what they're getting on a date. So you're kind of showing them the most accurate version of you. And if you want someone who wants like a sensual lover or a sensual devotional lover or wife or life partner, you better be showing up as that on a date. And the same thing applies for your relationship and your marriage. If you want to be treated like a sensual goddess, sex goddess, like erotic maven of the hearth and home, you better be showing up as that. Because it's not going to be your partner's responsibility to create that out of you. It's your responsibility. Let's take another sip of tea or water together. If I've triggered you, I love you. I was triggered myself. I was triggered really deeply when I started coming to terms with these things about myself. Yeah, it's triggering to be like, wait a minute, I'm doing the pushing away. I'm doing the not choosing. I'm doing the not committing, you know? It's really like in Carolyn Elliott's book, Existential Kink, shout out to her. I think now she goes by Carolyn Lovewell. If you haven't read the book, it's great. And it's very much based, I think, on a Tibetan Buddhist practice where it's like, we create the scenarios of suffering. And we replay them until we're ready to graduate from them. And so it's triggering. And it also can support you. And this is all relative, right? Take this with a grain of salt. But it can support you to look at, where am I just recreating a pattern again and again and again? And what would it look like for me to choose something different? Like, am I subtly trying to control my husband or partner, and therefore pushing them away or making him less powerful as my partner because I'm subtly trying to control him? And every time he suggests something, I kind of like second guess it, or I'm really hard to please, or I'm hard to lead. I totally found myself doing this the other day. And I was like, oh, I don't really know if that's what I want to do. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to just let you be the leader right now. And then I said the word let you. And I thought, okay, let me rephrase that. I'm going to appreciate you being the leader. And I'm going to lean into whatever you choose for today. It's not every day, personally. But for me, I mean, the programming is so strong. I want what I want when I want it. So if you have two people coming together and they both want what they want, right, when they want it, how often is it going to be the same? Never. Someone wants something and someone wants something else. And if you are always in your empowered woman who wants what she wants, you're going to be always trying to control the other person, you know? So be easy to lead, be easy to please at times. I think that, you know, again, our grandmothers maybe were too easy to please, right? Too people pleasy. That's a shadow. I have that too. So yeah, we're like, okay, sometimes I'm a people pleaser. I say yes to everything. And so now I've found my voice. And now I'm honest about everything I don't like all the time. Can you see how that's a problem too? So we have to find our middle ground, right? Is this a moment where I need to be really like clear in my sovereignty and in my voice and say, you know, yeah, that doesn't work for me? Or could I release my preferences because I have millions of preferences? Could I release this one to my partner? Surrender my preference to theirs? I mean, it's so huge. And is the reason why I'm not feeling like lightning and firework chemistry all the time actually because there's health and security here. This notion that we're supposed to get all of our needs met from our partners is just not real. And I think you've probably heard Esther Perel talk about that in her book, Mating in Captivity, which I kind of want to reread now that I'm a mom. I read it back in my 20s, whenever it came out. And it's like this idea that in the past we had a village or whatever, and there were different people fulfilling different needs for us. And now in the nuclear family, in a home, our partner is like meant to fulfill all these different needs for us, right? Like if I want to like dance around to like pop music in the kitchen, like I'm like, come dance with me. It's like, well, no, I'm asking him to like be my girlfriend right now and dance around with me in the kitchen to Cyndi Lauper, which he may do, depending. I'm sure if I gave him a little tequila, but and that's a silly example. The other example I would say would be like using our partner as a therapist, processing with them. Again, just such an intimacy killer. There's a time and a place for it, and at times it's necessary, but as a habit, it's not good. Same as using your partner to be your work kind of colleague or confidant. There's at times where it's great and times where it's not. So this idea that your partner is supposed to be the erotic fireworks and also the deep, like, father of your children, the patriarch of the home, your, you know, great colleague of having conversations with you about if your social media is doing good today. I mean, It's too much. It's too much. And this is part of what I see, like, either a woman in a marriage is putting all that, or in a long-term partnership is putting that on their partner. And then, or on a date or a potential partner. Or they're like expecting that the hot lovership that they had, like with the last lover who didn't end up sticking around to be the partner, but the hot lovership that now this person who they're considering to be a long-term partner should also feel the same as the hot lover. No, you're holding them to a completely different set of standards. They will not feel like the hot lover. You can bring some of that hotness into relationship. Absolutely. You can have hotness. You can have fireworks. You can have erotic boom in long-term relationship. But it's not, you're not entering into the same doorway. You're not walking on the same path. When you're in a lovership, there's a very particular set of agreements. When you're in a long-term relationship or a marriage, there are also a different set of agreements. And again, this is some, I don't know. I'm not going to blame Sex and the City for everything. I love Sex and the City. I've watched it 1,000 times. But this idea of like, the sex has to be incredible. He's got to look this. He's got to be that. He's got to be ready for this. He's got to be da da da. It's not realistic, you guys. We are mortal women. This is a conversation that I care about because I've been in it for many years with myself and with some of my best friends. But I haven't always wanted to talk about it publicly because it's tender, you know, it is essentially taking a great self-responsibility. It can feel like the opposite of empowerment, but the truth is you get to stay empowered. You get to stay sovereign. You get to stay expressed, but it's learning and cultivating a different frequency of surrendering, letting go. And I said to a client the other day, and I remember I had a teacher say this to me many years ago. You know, she was planning a trip with her partner, and you know, he wasn't like, she wanted him to put together some of the details and da da da. And I said, you keep coming in to plan and you're controlling him instead of just making some space to let him come in and make a plan. And I'm like, honestly, I think that you're afraid that he's going to make a plan that you don't like. And so if you come in quicker and faster with all the different preferences and options of things that you like, then you don't have to face the potential disappointment of him bringing something you don't like, but then you're taking away from him the opportunity to lead you and to actually not disappoint you, but to bring you something beautiful. And so what do you have to feel? You have to allow yourself to feel the potential for disappointment. You have to allow yourself to feel the potential that he may choose something you don't like. But then you have a man who's like in his power. And so that's a choice, right? You can choose whether in your marriage or long-term partnership, you're constantly sort of taking your man's power away because you're so empowered, which is awesome. The nature of power and a power dynamic is that two people are sharing that power. And so, you know, it's like, can one person have the power baton in one moment and then pass the power baton in another moment? Yes, it's not like a permanent you're giving the power to your partner. But I think the shadow is we're so empowered that we don't notice that we're taking away this experience of deep surrender and softening into being held. And then we're overstretched. Our capacities keep growing. And as this great teacher who I just took this baby course with, Physiologic Baby Care, Rochelle Garcia-Saliga, Saliga, maybe, I'm not sure her second last name's pronunciation. But as she said recently about parenting, as women, and this is paraphrasing, as women, we expand our capacity and we expand our capacity and we expand our capacity. We need to stop expanding our capacity. Stop expanding your capacity. Ask for help. Stop and ask for help. Stop and soften into someone else's arms, right? Anyway, I gotta go. I could riff about this for ages. I love you all. Thank you for listening. This is when you know you love something, it's when time just rolls, right? Time just flies and you're having so much fun. I'm creating a course about this because I'm so fired up about it. And I've got it all like written out as much as I can. In the night while I'm like nursing or baby's asleep, I'm just taking these notes and I'm getting super excited about it because I want to teach about this and I want to support you to get what you want. And I want to work with you on that. This is for you. This is for your heart because I feel you and I was you and I am you and I love you. And I'm super geeked out about this. It's so important to me. I don't want us to pass this thing on to our daughters, right? Like I want us to pass on that you can be empowered, gorgeous, strong, capable, boss, babe, entrepreneur, all of it, and be such a deep devotional lover, sensual woman. You know how to soften, you know how to surrender, you know how to be held. I want that for you. Okay. Thank you for listening. Can't wait to share this with you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Before you go, I want to offer you some questions for contemplation, integration, and writing if you wish. The first one is to consider, was there something in today's episode that touched you or moved you or triggered you? An image, an idea, a story? Take a moment and just think about it. Is there anything that provoked you, that reached inside of you, that perhaps brought up a memory or an idea from your life? What in this episode inspired you? Was there something that surprised you, that stood out for you? Could you jot it down just to remember? Maybe it was a concept or something that brought you to some new awareness. Was there something about this episode that upset you, that provoked you, that pissed you off? Giving yourself full permission to dive into that. Was there anything about this episode that soothed your soul, that helped you feel a little bit more belonging, a little bit more at home, a little bit less like you're the only one? Taking those questions into your heart or into your journal or into your day. If anything stood out that you want to share with me, please do so on social media, direct into my DMs. I'd love to hear what touched you, what moved you, and what you're taking from this time together. And if this episode truly inspired you in some kind of way, share it with a friend. Like, subscribe, and write a review. It means a lot to me. Thank you. So happy you're here with me, daring to feel.